Well, wish in one hand and shit in the other. See which one fills up first, Mike.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name's Chris Dillard.
And my name's Mike Royer.
And this week's podcast is our calm after the storm.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get ready for Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Task Force X assembles. I just made the X with my hands, by the way.
Oh, okay.
CW adds another show to its lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And more.
Man, I'm coming down from the high of last week, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What's your Age of Ultron count up to?
It's still just two. Oh, okay. For people that know me pretty well... me seeing a movie in the theaters just twice is already like huge for me. Like usually I'll see it in the theater once and then I'll wait a long time to see it again. You know, they seem to, I guess, stay with me pretty long. So just me seeing it twice is probably similar to you seeing it like four or five times.
Yeah, I did see it four times. I finally saw it in IMAX last night. I sent you the picture of that poster.
Mm-hmm.
And the IMAX poster is pretty cool. I kind of like that. So I'm glad to see it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been talking to a couple of my friends, and I think we've come down to the conclusion that, like, I mean, I say this every time I see a 3D movie, but, like, 3D just isn't as hyped as it always seems to be. I always feel like I have to see it in 3D because, like, oh, I'm never going to be able to see it in 3D again once it leaves theaters. But I don't know. I really don't feel like it adds anything, but I always fall for it every single time. I'm like, oh, I got to see this in 3D. I got to see it. I got to spend the extra $5 to see it in 3D. But the real problem is most of these movies – don't get shown in IMAX and not in 3D. So it's kind of like if you want to see it in IMAX, you're forced to see it in 3D.
Well, the beauty of that is I saw it in 3D first, and then in IMAX, the IMAX 3D glasses are so much nicer to wear.
Mm-hmm.
They're bigger. They sit on your head. They don't squeeze. They're really less in the way than the actual regular 3D glasses are.
Uh-huh.
And that was a benefit of having that. But you're right. You can't get an IMAX 2D showing anywhere.
Uh-huh. And I feel like sometimes when a movie's in 3D, like, I don't know if there's any, like, psychological studies done. It'd be interesting to see if there was. But I feel like I can't concentrate as much on what's going on in the story. I mean, because, like, after you start watching a 3D movie for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, you kind of forget you're in a 3D movie. But I don't know. I just feel like you can just, like, digest the movie better when you can just see it flat.
I'd be interested in seeing that as well. I don't feel it took away from it, but I definitely... enjoy not wearing headgear.
Yeah, and plus it saves you money too, so.
Yeah, right. And the 3D most of the times isn't even like beneficial. Like old Age of Ultron didn't use it to like show us cool things like Captain America's shield coming at us or Ultron flying away.
Yeah, and then sometimes when they do it too much it just feels like a gimmick.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm pretty positive I'm going to see Ant-Man in 2D. But even then, like when I was watching the trailers for Ant-Man in 3D, I was like, oh, this looks super cool in 3D because, you know, you're the shrinking and the growing and all the perspective changes looked really cool in 3D. But then I'm like, well, then again, 15 minutes into the movie, it's going to be like I'm not wearing 3D glasses because I'm going to be so used to it. So I think I just got to put my foot down and just like say 2D or go home.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
on that note, let's go ahead and just remind everybody, if you've not listened to our spoiler cast last week,
mm-hmm.
go hit it up. It's on YouTube. It's on superheroslate.com. We tried to put it on Facebook, but they don't like episodes over 45 minutes.
Yeah, come on. Don't you want our content, Facebook?
Yeah, like we tried to. I worked really hard on that, those assholes. But, I mean, only watch it if you've seen Age of Ultron. Don't listen to us first, because you'll definitely have most of that movie ruined.
Yeah,
really
I think
quickly.
We'll be talking a little bit about Age of Ultron later in this episode, but we'll let you know if there's going to be any spoilers before they pop up.
True that. True.
But
that.
I would assume if you're someone that likes superheroes enough to listen to a podcast about superhero news, I would assume by now, 2 weekends, you would have seen Ultron already. So
yeah, all both of you people listening to this podcast right now, you've seen it. Don't lie to us.
Either way, but we'll still warn of spoilers. That's for sure.
That's true. And what I want to do, like your friend did this, Quentin, our guest from episode 10, live tweets the podcast sometimes, and that entertains the hell out of me when he's listening. He live tweets at us.
Yeah, he loves to usually berate me for my opinions.
Yeah, yeah, I do feel he has a strong dislike towards you on Twitter.
Yeah, which is pretty funny considering we're friends, but maybe that's why the friendship lasts, because it's lively.
I think it's our common hatred for Hulu Plus. Everyone yeah. agreed with that one, that fuck Hulu Plus.
Yeah, everyone. So I think every episode, as long as we bring up not liking Hulu, it doesn't really matter if the content of our show is entertaining. As long as we're bashing on Hulu, we'll still get people listening.
Hashtag fuck Hulu Plus. So, all right, let's just jump into the news. Let's no beating around the bush. We've talked for a while. The next up for Marvel after Ant-Man is Captain America: Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we kind of got a little bit of we've been getting undertones of that since the first Avengers film. And we got some promo art dropped on Monday, you know, right after Age of Ultron released, and it looks cool as hell.
Yeah, which is really crazy. So is this – now, this – can't be official release stuff. It seems like it's leaked, because it's not pretty. It's like really, really crappy images.
Yeah, they're not high quality. Like, this is someone's like took out of the internet, or like stole from the offices and leaked out.
Uh-huh.
And we get three images. First off is it Captain America and Iron Man punching each other.
Uh-huh.
Classic Civil War. And then we have one of Captain America, one of Iron Man. What's really cool is, you know, they're showing us their new outfits a little early. And I like the Iron Man look, and I like the Captain America look.
Yeah, Captain America seems to be Captain America's kind of like Coca-Cola. You know, he stays pretty classic. His suit doesn't change too much. I would say this is almost identical to Ultron, except for the little red swoops that come off the side of his chest star. It seems to be pretty consistent.
Yeah, if you look at the one where they're fighting, I think they moved the red from his chest to the sides of him.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they've tweaked a little bit, but like you said, he's Coca-Cola. Like, if it works, if it's not broken, don't fix it, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny, considering Iron Man's red, he's blue, so it's kind of like Coke versus Pepsi.
Yeah, yeah. Civil War. like those memes?
My wife has very strong opinions about Pepsi, so I'm pretty sure she'd be rooting for Iron Man in this movie then.
Is he Coke?
Well, I mean, if you're going by colors, yeah, Iron Man would be Coke.
Well, where does Mountain Dew fall into this? That's my problem.
That's the Hulk, man.
Oh, damn, you're right. but talking about Iron Man suit here, everyone tried to say that in Age of Ultron, it was his bleeding edge armor.
Uh-huh.
That's not true. I've watched this movie 4 times. I've studied his armor. There's no lights on it. Like, it's just a kind of a more red version of the one he had.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about back at the movie, he doesn't really get in and out of the suit at all in Ultron. He gets out of it at the very beginning, but there's no crazy scenes where he has to call the armor to him or anything like that. He's basically either in it or out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's okay. Like, we know Tony upgrades his armor. We don't need a walkthrough of what he's doing to it. Mm-hmm. But this new one seems to have a lot of, like, lights on it.
Yeah.
And like a upside down parallelogram.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to be getting that that tech that we saw in Iron Man 3, where the suit will basically fly on him. I feel like, you know, that's kind of the disjointed look we get from the lights, that we will be getting different parts connected to him.
Yeah, and something maybe like he's got repulsors to like maybe move him, not repulsors, but like little boosts to move him in like different directions to outmaneuver Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something I want to see them kind of touch on. How does he get this armor in the next one? Mm-hmm. Even though he's not in the title, like, yeah, it's not Iron Man Civil War. It's Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, and man, holy crap! Considering the scale of this movie, they released the cast list of this film, and it's gigantic. There's more. This is basically like almost like Avengers 3. Just with no Hulk or no Thor, I think are the only people left out with all these characters that we've accumulated in all these movies.
Definitely. I think I counted 10 superheroes, and one of the cool things is they've added Martin Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
You know him from Sherlock, or he was Bilbo in the Hobbit movies.
Mm-hmm.
Great actor. I'm glad he's joining the Marvel Universe. His compatriot Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's in an unknown role right now. They didn't unveil who he's playing, but there are two pretty big theories. Henry Peter Gyrick and Everett Ross.
Yeah.
Everett Ross is a liaison between Wakanda and, you know, the world.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're going to see Wakanda and Vibranium was brought up in Age of Ultron, I think that's where that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Henry Peter Gyrick, he's a liaison for the Avengers to the UN, and he's kind of like a legal asshole who kind of like tries to put laws and rules over the Avengers.
Yeah, I could see that. I feel like he's definitely not going to be any sort of superhero.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying that Martin Freeman couldn't bring a superhero to life, but he seems like he's going to be playing more of like a pencil pusher in this film.
Definitely a suit of some kind.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He's going to be a suit for sure. But, you know, I kind of had mixed feelings. You know, I kind of wanted to talk about this, but I feel like one of the things that I really missed out in Age of Ultron was just the lack of secrets. You know, we did our best, or at least I did my best, to avoid, you know, too many trailers. You know, I really tried to avoid all sorts of spoilers, but I wasn't really surprised that much in the film. There wasn't a whole lot of pop-ups out of nowhere that, you know, really went like, really got me surprised. I think the first time I was surprised was maybe towards the end of the film, but you know, I was kind of hoping they would keep some of this casting under wraps. You know, we're going to have lots of characters popping up in this film. I almost would have liked to have not have known. So I could have gone into the film and then these heroes and characters would have been popping up and I would have been surprised. But now the whole cast list is revealed and it kind of, I feel like it takes a little bit of the punch out of it. You know, how do you feel?
Yeah, I can go either way. Honestly, they've released all these names, but we don't know how much they're going to be in it. Spoiler alert. Age of Ultron. Spoiler alert, if you don't like this, jump ahead like 30 seconds. Falcon in Age of Ultron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we knew he was going to be in it, but we didn't know how much.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and that was entertaining seeing him.
And we know Civil War is going to be heroes fighting heroes, but like it's going to boil down to not following the book exactly, but taking the title.
Mm-hmm.
So we may see more Captain America and Iron Man fighting in different ways than definitely all these other superheroes. I think the biggest thing that got me, it was William Hurt coming back
mm-hmm.
as General Ross. And I think even though that would have been a cool surprise, knowing that makes me, you know, a little bit prouder of Marvel for acknowledging more of the Incredible Hulk than they have.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because, you know, like we said, the cast list does not have Hulk or Thor on it. I don't expect Thor to show up in this movie because I feel like Civil War is very much a planet Earth issue with the heroes that live on planet Earth. I feel like Thor doesn't really belong in the story that much. But I feel like the Hulk is going to be very intricate kind of to this plot because I would say he's a big reason why the normal people on planet Earth might not like heroes, considering he destroys every city that he ever visits, you know, whether he knows it or not.
He's a horrible tourist.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we'll see the Hulk pop up and, you know, that might be a fun surprise. You know, so we'll just have to see. I think the one thing that I really want out of this film is I want like a very long extended fight scene just between Captain America and Iron Man. I just want to see them beat the crap out of each other for like 15 minutes where I don't even want to blink. I don't even want to miss a punch. You know, I just want it to just, I really want things to boil up and I really want things to just come to a head, you know, like in the third act of the film and they just like to start wailing on each other, you know, kind of like
up to this. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you see this all the time in like movies and stuff where kind of like two buddies like argue and stuff and they just need to beat the crap out of each other so they can feel better. You know, this is just that on a huge superhero scale. They just need to throw some punches and get it all out of their system.
Yeah. They're just a married couple and they either need to get naked and get dirty or not get naked and get dirty by beating each other up. So I agree. Get it out of their system.
Yeah.
I agree. I want to see that, much like, you know, the Hulkbuster fight in Age of Ultron. Like, mm-hmm. a nice Captain America Iron Man throwdown.
Yeah, we just need to see something solid. I don't want to see anyone getting in between them or anything. I just want to see them just throwing bows.
Yeah, I agree with you. The last copy of Avengers, the last volume of Avengers, the very last issue, is a Captain America Iron Man throwdown drag-out fight.
Nice.
And Captain America actually puts on, like, not a full War Machine suit, but, like, armor enough like to last against Tony.
Oh, is that actually on the cover of the comic?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I just got that in the mail, I think, on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, and I just finally opened up the package, like, today, like, maybe a couple hours ago, and I looked at the cover. I was like, I have no fucking idea what's going on in this cover, but it looks awesome. I really need to catch up on these books so I can figure out what's going on in this one.
Yeah, that's the last one of that volume, so you got a lot of build-up, too, there, so it's awesome.
Yeah, because I see right at the top of the issue it says 1 month until everything ends, so that'll be the Secret War starting.
Yeah, and Secret Wars was actually last week, so Secret Wars 2 is this week. Yeah, comics is a whole nother story.
Yeah, I mean, like, that a comic podcast, that needs a whole nother thing. There's so much superhero, just everything out there. We just have to leave it to what we see on the screen to fill this hour.
Yeah, and not only are we talking movies, we're going to talk a little TV today.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel's television shows Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter got renewed for seasons 3 and 2, respectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest news out of that, for sure, is Agent Carter. We were really worried about her.
Yeah, despite not performing, you know, surprisingly, like, it wasn't bad, but it was like middle of the road kind of ratings.
Mm-hmm.
It's gained such a cult following.
I
can't tell you how many people I saw dressed up at Agent Carter at the last Comic-Con.
Oh yeah.
And that's awesome that they're both coming back. That means we're gonna have another, I don't know how many weeks of Marvel TV without any breaks.
Oh man,
which is awesome, because I like not having breaks in between things, or like when shows like stop for 2 weeks before they have a new episode, or mm-hmm. 3 weeks, and you're kind of like, well, should I watch this week or what?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess good news / bad news, not so good news, is that that spinoff show that was basically officially announced is scrapped.
It was kind of in pre-production, so I wouldn't go so far as to say officially announced.
Well, it sounds like it lived and died very quickly.
Yeah, they were going to do it, but I think, you know, it was supposed to, like, star Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have an Agent Carter show, a Mockingbird show would just be a modern-day version of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if Agent Carter ever does, you know, tank, they could replace it with a Mockingbird show pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I loved Agent Carter. I think the second season will be great. I really want to jump back into that just production quality of the show that they had going.
Yeah.
I love the, what was it? I guess it would be 40s. Roaring. They'd be coming up to the Roaring 50s soon. Did they even call it Roaring 50s? What do they call the 50s? What is Roaring? Is that the 40s?
Lions mostly, but I don't know about decades.
Either way, I really like the decade, so I'm looking forward, because I mean they did some pretty cool things in that very last episode of the series. So
yeah, it was definitely cool, and I'm glad. I don't know how much time they'll jump forward. We're gonna see Agent Carter return in Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, you know, we could see maybe some like Michael Douglas Ant-Man like era Agent Carter beforehand still. So I'm excited to see where it goes. We don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't care what anyone says. that show's getting better. A lot of people who hate it are still stuck in the first season, never got past the Civil War. You've watched it, right? Are you up to date? Or
I'm like 6 episodes behind. I left off where I left off in that like football field scene where they went to a football field.
The supervillains.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, this Tuesday is a 2-hour season finale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty rare to get a 2-hour season finale. And I'm excited to watch it, so I'm glad to see those come back.
Yeah, I think we can talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. after the finale, do a spoiler-free type thing.
Yeah, and then I'll let you get caught up.
Yeah, you can kind of just tell me what you think about it, tell me if I can look forward to it or not.
I'll tell you what, they called them the Inhumans for the first time last week.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they're trucking forward on this, like, TV universe is going to pay off cinematically.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be kind of weird if they did cancel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., setting up all those Inhumans when they're trying to make an Inhumans movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, it gets really good DVR ratings, so it'll last. Speaking of things that maybe you could DVR, Netflix, you can't really mm-hmm. record that, I guess, but it's on demand. Rosario Dawson is back for more Marvel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she played Claire Temple, or a.k.a. Night Nurse, in Season 1 of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And she can come back in Daredevil Season 2 and actually show up in other Netflix shows now with her new contract.
I feel like the standard contract for anyone entering a Marvel TV show or movie is basically, like, be prepared to be in anything at any point in time. We cannot tell you if it's going to happen or not.
And with the stipulation, you will make money.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not going to force you to do it, but, you know, if you're on TV, you might have to be in a movie.
Yeah, the last person who turned down Marvel was Emily Blunt, and she turned down two Marvel roles, and really, what's she doing anymore?
What did she turn down? I didn't realize she was being courted.
She turned down Black Widow before Scarlett Johansson was selected.
Oh, wow.
And she turned down Agent Carter when they were casting her.
Man, Emily Blunt could have been a good Black Widow.
She could have been. She could have been a great Agent Carter, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last thing she did was that Tom Cruise movie that I remember.
Oh, Edge of Tomorrow. That was good, though. That was really good.
And Into the Woods. Okay. That musical, I pretty much was disgusted by, so I got some feedback from that one, but whatever. But Netflix, you know, they're moving along. Jessica Jones got a new synopsis. It really matches what we said before, so we're not gonna go into that. Maybe next week.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're gonna see Rosario Dawson come back, and that was awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. She was great in this new season, first season. Yeah.
So we're gonna segue into some spoiler territory, so spoilers again. Mm-hmm. Jump forward about a minute if you're not ready.
So spoilers for Ultron specifically.
So what we're gonna talk about is Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
And spoilers, he dies. His death is true. He's not coming back. We kind of speculated that in the spoiler cast, but Kevin Feige said he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like short of a time gem or some miracle down the road, but there's not, like, he's not going to be Tahiti'd or anything like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a good decision that they need to make. They can't open up that box of worms that Marvel Comics has done for a long time where any hero could possibly come back. You know, I think the cinematic universe should be pretty definitive. So, I mean, at the same time, they got plenty of superheroes that they can call on, you know. It's not a bad thing to kill him every once in a while to make us feel a little bit more worried.
Well, and, you know, with X-Men using Quicksilver and definitely going to be using him in the future, Marvel doesn't need one. They don't need two Quicksilvers competing for our attention or confusing the common moviegoer.
Mm-hmm.
Why are there two Quicksilvers? Why are they not together in the same place at the same time? So I think that's a good choice on Marvel, is to just, you know, get them off the table and move on.
Yeah, and I think outside of the spoiler territory now, I think overall Scarlet Witch is just a more interesting character than Quicksilver. I think she has more interesting powers. You know, Quicksilver has a very specific skill, and it's going very, very quickly, which can look very cool. But I think Scarlet Witch can just be used a little bit more effectively in storytelling. You know, she can control people's minds. She can kind of do kind of generic, like, energy blasts and stuff like that. And, you know, now she's even a more tortured soul after the events of Ultron. So I think overall they made the good choice of they picked the right Maximoff twin to keep in the universe.
Yeah, and you know, as one of the Olsen sisters, I mean, she did a great job, and I'd like to see more of her, especially when she comes up in Civil War next year.
Yeah.
After Civil War, the Russos are taking on Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking pretty much filming Civil War, then jumping right into Infinity War for 9 months, doing both movies. They announced that they're using these IMAX RE cameras, the first of their kind, to film the entire Infinity War series.
Oh, man, that's going to look beautiful.
Yeah, this is the first film to do so. Both movies entirely will be filmed in these IMAX RE cameras. So that means we're not going to, like, I know, like, what is it? Zack Snyder filmed some of his stuff in IMAX, and so did Christopher Nolan. But they're filming all these IMAX RE cameras.
Man, it's gonna be amazing to see this Infinity War, because I think overall the scope of these two films are just gonna be massive. I mean, we're finally gonna be bringing these heroes into. This is kind of what I'm speculating, since it's broken into two parts. I think part one is going to be on Earth, and part two is going to be in space. That's kind of my guess.
Okay. I could see, I think, to me, I'm going to put it all on Earth, because, you know, I know the Defenders are showing up in part two.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one's going to be where, like, our heroes are pretty much destroyed. Like, no hope. Like, it's going to end on a cliffhanger where nobody looks like they're going to make it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone's been killed or something. And then the second one is where everybody has to step up to do this, where they know, like, you know, these so-called gods can't do it themselves.
Well, I definitely could see in part two, the very, very last act, they could arrive back at Earth. But I think it's going to be pretty 50-50, you know, since they're splitting it into two parts. But one thing I was talking about with my brother on the phone today was, you know, one thing in the Ultron movie that he kind of pointed out that was pretty similar to the first Avengers was that the only thing that the Avengers seem to be needed for is when there's big onslaughts of, you know, enemies.
Yes, yes.
You know, so the Avengers, we had the Chitauri army that invaded. In Ultron, we had the Ultron army that attacked. So I really want to see the Avengers kind of take on a smaller group almost. You know, Thanos is a big dude, very, very strong. It will definitely take more than just one-on-one to fight him. I definitely want to see that. I want to see all of them fight Thanos at once, you know, and not have to worry about this cannon fodder just flying at them. I think that'll be really cool, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I would agree with your brother on that. You know, like, Avengers, Age of Ultron is the same thing. There's just a bunch of little dudes they can beat pretty easily coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see the Thanos fight there, and I think there's gonna be some sort of like cannon fodder again, but I think it's gonna be something much more globally encompassing rather than just in a single spot.
Mm-hmm.
For Infinity. I don't know if the Chitauri are gonna come back. If we think of Age of Ultron, back to Tony's vision.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Chitauri, like, are there more of them out there? Like, is that Thanos' technical army?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping the Chitauri are just done with. I mean, you got a whole freaking galaxy or universe that you can pull aliens from. I'd like to see maybe a Kree army or something like that. You know, we saw a little bit of the Kree in Guardians of the Galaxy. It'd be cool to bring them out again.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I would actually like to see, in Marvel, there was an event called Infinity a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the poster right now. It's on my wall. It's where Thanos comes to Earth, and he brings what's called the Black Order. It's these five people who serve him who outmatch our heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And those five people, like, there's one called Black Dwarf, Proxima Midnight, Ebony Maw. Like, I can't think of the other two off the top of my head. But they beat our heroes, essentially. And I would like to see them come with him if they could. Infinity was a very cinematic event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would make a great adaptation. Some of it will. Because everyone keeps referring back to the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. Mm-hmm. If it was going to be close to Infinity Gauntlet, I think they would have called this the Infinity Gauntlet, Part mm-hmm. 1 and 2. I think Infinity War implies there's going to be taking bits and pieces from other stories across the Marvel history, I guess.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with you. You're not wrong. Like, you're right on the money. I want to see them face him. But I also want to see him kick their ass.
Yeah. Well, either way, no matter what happens, it's going to look beautiful on those IMAX cameras.
Yeah, that gives you a big screen. And you know, we need to see on a big screen.
What's that?
Ant-Man. Because how else are you going to see him?
Yeah, that's true. He's too tiny, man.
He's a small dude. That's why he's an Ant-Man. We got a new poster for him. We're going to talk about this poster. Nothing special.
Yeah, it's just kind of a poster.
What I would like to point out is at the very top it says, from the studio that brought you Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So it's pointing, like, this is the you know, the late summer release, pointing to Guardians of the Galaxy, last year's late summer release, surprise sleeper hit, but not pointing to Avengers, which is, you know, made over $1 billion in the past week.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe they want to align themselves more with the smaller scale of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And plus, I feel like Ant-Man with Paul Rudd in it, definitely we saw a lot of humor in the trailer, and humor pretty much dictates a lot of things that happens in Guardians. So I think it makes sense to more align it with them.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, it's pretty generic trailer or generic thing. Someone pointed out it looked like a Ghost Protocol poster with Paul Rudd, like, wearing the hoodie like Tom Cruise did in that Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to take Paul Rudd seriously. Every single thing I've seen Paul Rudd in, he's just been a goofy dude, and I've loved him being a goofy dude. So I'll just have to see if I can take him seriously as a superhero.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's gonna take Ant-Man seriously, especially Ant-Man himself.
Yeah, that's true.
So, quick note on that before we jump on to the next thing, this will open the Fantasia International Film Festival in Ontario.
I don't know what that is.
It's it's a small thing. Like, the week before it actually opens everywhere else, Ant-Man will just open, be the first movie they show at a film festival. So I guess they have enough faith in it to show it at a film festival.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to the smaller scale. Pun intended, no pun intended. But
too late.
I'm looking forward to kind of the more centered story where things don't sprawl too much. You know, where I can kind of just get to know a new character in the universe. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hype for Ant-Man now. I'm hype.
Yeah, me too. And he's coming back for Civil War.
Yeah.
So that's
And know who else is coming back for Civil War? We're getting Hawkeye. And there's a really popular animated GIF out there of Hawkeye shooting Ant-Man, who's riding an arrow and then punches a dude through a window. So everyone's hoping that we get that scene in Civil War.
Damn, that'd be classy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, somebody we may not see in Civil War, may or may not, is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They left that off the press release, but maybe they just haven't cast him yet.
Or maybe they're just doing that on purpose.
Like, maybe this is our surprise.
Yeah, maybe that's what we want. You know, we've heard way back before even the Spider-Man news was announced that they originally had a draft of Civil War with Spider-Man in it, and then they replaced him for Black Panther. But then we got the news that Spider-Man was coming back, and then we're not sure if we're going to have him in there or not. I feel like we're going to see him at some point.
Yeah, either way, he's getting his own movie from Marvel a year later in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
The director shortlist has kind of been revealed through some leaks. You ready for these?
Yeah.
All right. Jonathan Levine.
Okay.
He did 50-50.
That was a good movie. I liked it.
Okay. Ted Melfi. He did St. Vincent.
And
I don't know what that is.
I believe it was a kind of drama / comedy with Bill Murray in it. I feel like it was definitely something a little bit more indie.
Okay. Ted Melfi. I am not sure who that is, but either way. Jason Moore, director of Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I watched that movie yesterday. It is definitely a guilty pleasure of mine. There's actually some legitimately really funny parts in it. Some other parts a little cringy. I think that might just do with the subject material that they're using in the movie. But I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay. John Francis Daly and Jonathan M. Goldstein, as a team, they're doing the new Vacation movie, which had a new trailer this week, and you think you threw up in your mouth a little
bit. Yeah, I did not like it at all. I seem to be... have a dissenting opinion from some of the comments I saw online about the trailer, who said they think the movie looks good. I think it looks awful. And I think the comparison that you told me was perfect, where you said this is going to look like the Dumb and Dumber 2 of this franchise. And I totally agree. And I didn't see Dumb and Dumber 2 either, so I'm probably not going to see Vacation. So I don't know about these guys either.
Yeah. And lastly, Jared Hess, Napoleon Dynamite. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, has he done anything outside of Napoleon Dynamite?
I honestly don't know. That's a good question. Smaller indie films, I think. I think he didn't really. Nacho Libre.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think my opinion almost kind of weighs on how much Kevin Feige has to say about this director shortlist. You know, as we all know, Spider-Man is still technically owned by Sony, so does Sony have the last say on these directors? Because if I knew Sony was picking these people, I would say they're doing the same mistake that they made with Mark Webb, where they picked this little indie romantic comedy director, almost, you know, because he did 500 Days of Summer, and all we could see in his movies were this love story between, you know, Spider-Man and the women in his life, which I didn't really care too much for. And I would almost say the same thing with these list of directors. But I know if Marvel's behind it, I feel like I can almost trust them because they're known for picking these kind of not necessarily obscure directors, but they're known for being able to see talent where it's not necessarily seen for these action movies. And they seem to bring it to the surface really well. So I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of leaning Jonathan Levine or Levin or however you say his last name, just because I saw 50-50 and I thought it was really, really good. You know, it had humor in it, but it was also had some really serious parts in it. So maybe that would work well with like serious action scenes. I mean, I don't really know. I haven't seen, you know, I haven't seen St. Vincent, so I can't really say much about Ted. Pitch Perfect was fun, but could they handle a superhero franchise movie? Possibly, because, you know, Pitch Perfect was kind of more of a fun popcorn type flick. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm gonna take a look at this, and Everyone but one starts with the letter J. So I'm going to go ahead and take Ted off the thing because he doesn't start with a J.
Yeah.
Now that I've said that, it's probably going to be him. I'm going to take the vacation people off. I don't think that's going to do well enough to get them. But this could be one of those things where they have to do something bad and have a redeeming film to come back from.
Well, and also sometimes I think Marvel is looking for these smaller directors so they just don't have to pay them as much. I think they're just trying to stretch their dollar bill because they know whatever director they pick might be sticking around for four or five movies. So they need room to work up to that super high budget director. They can't get the high budget director right off the bat because then they can't just keep piling money on top of them for the next movie.
Yeah, I'm going to take Napoleon Dynamite's director Jared Hess out as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's just too out there.
I think it's too obscure for him.
Too obscure. I mean, I say this, but I mean, they also did Jon Favreau, who did Elf before he did
Iron Man. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that's why it's just so hard to make a decision.
I guess the real question would be, who's writing the script?
Yeah, that's true.
Scripts, Marvel scripts tend to be some of the best stuff. I mean, that's why Guardians work so well. Not just because, you know, James Gunn loves the thing, but because the script from... I can't think of her name, was just so awesome to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see script list, but that's the short list for this. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, well, I think I agree with you. I think we're down to the Pitch Perfect director and the 50-50 director. I think those would be the top two for us, so we'll just have to see if that ends up shaking out.
Yeah, definitely. So, if Marvel picks either of those two, we're right yet again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to... Yeah, that's it. So, I'm going to talk some X-Men stuff. X-Men's kind of took a back seat this week.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, since we're filming Apocalypse, it took a back seat, but we got some big news. The Rogue Cut is out finally, or is coming out in July 14th. So, the Rogue version of Days of Future Past is coming out in July.
Mm-hmm. And you know how I said I don't usually see movies... repeated very often. I haven't seen Days of Future Past since I saw it in the theaters last year. So I think the next time I'm going to watch it, I'm going to wait for this Rogue Cut to come out to catch it.
Yeah, I would too. It's got, I think, 17 minutes. So it's not just that scene with Rogue. Like, there's more to it, he said. Mm-hmm. Like, Rogue's a double meaning. But we also got the case artwork, which looks, you know, not bad. I'm not going to say it's the best artwork.
Yeah, not much to report there.
Yeah, but it's there if you want to take a look. It'll be up on our YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
What really is important is that Hugh Jackman confirmed that the third Wolverine movie is his last time as Wolverine.
Yeah, that is a huge, huge news because we've been getting so many conflicting reports from Hugh Jackman where he said he wants to play Wolverine as long as he possibly can because he loves the character, but then at the same time just like, well, Hugh Jackman, you're literally not getting any younger, you're only getting older, which is completely contradictory to the character Wolverine, even though he's been totally getting more and more ripped every movie, so no one's complaining about the rippedness or the jackedness of the Jackman. So I think it's kind of crazy that we're finally letting Hugh Jackman out of these superhero movies almost. He is one of the best casting choices ever made in any superhero movie ever. He is the epitome of Wolverine. So, you know, do we just get more X-Men movies after that without Wolverine? They just leave him out? I think people would be okay with that. He's been such a dominant force in all these movies. I think it'll be kind of fun to see X-Men movies without him. But I think we should almost take bets to see how many movies until they recast Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm gonna say probably not very long. 17 years is the longest anyone's been in a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. If they can bring Wesley Snipes back as Blade, he would win for longest. But Hugh Jackman has been there since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the same could be said for the girl who plays Phoenix, Jean Grey, in the original movies. Like, she's been... Every time Wolverine's had a vision, she's kind of been there, right?
Yeah, but they recast her.
Yeah, they now recast her as a young version. It's sad to see him go, but I think it's time for Wolverine to take a back seat on some of the X-Men stories and let him focus on, you know, the actual team.
Yeah, I would think maybe it would make more sense for the studio to bring in Wolverine's son. What's his name again?
Daken.
Yeah, I could see that because basically you get to recast Wolverine, which... without actually having to, so you kind of get the same power set but just in a different character. See,
I would take his clone X-23, which is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she's part of the all new X-Men cast now, which is like the younger X-Men were brought to the future. Mm-hmm. And she joined them, and she's really cool. She's actually got a blade in her foot.
Oh.
Like, two on her hands and one in her foot.
Hmm.
And I don't know. Either way, I don't want to see Wolverine per se return, like you're saying, uh-huh. but maybe some offspring or relation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he's done an amazing job, so I feel like it's a bittersweet thing to see him go. He's done a great thing for superhero movies in the 17 years he's been doing this. So it'll be sad to see him go, but I'm glad he's doing one more standalone Wolverine movie. You know, we're going to get him in Apocalypse, and we're going to get him
maybe. They haven't said anything yet.
I think
if they don't, then it's stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's cool. We're going to see him in one last film. You know, they'll be able to tie him off with a bow. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm ready to see him go off into the sunset rather than fade away.
Yeah.
Or burn out, I guess.
Or get covered in boiling adamantium.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Maybe they'll just straight up kill him like they did in the comics.
Pretty much. Last bit of news, James McAvoy is finally going bald as Professor X.
Yeah.
All we got is a picture of him getting his head shaved. That's about it.
Yeah, let's see how they... let's see how they try to segue him into Professor X.
Probably better than we segue into any of our topics.
Yeah. I almost kind of think of it as like when I was watching the Star Wars prequels, there was always kind of that feeling of just like, oh, how do we take the X-Wing, which was put on the screen, you know, way back in the day, and how do we kind of make a newer slash older looking version of it so the two films transition together? Kind of feel like they're trying to do that with his bald head. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to see more set pictures of him in his wheelchair, and that's probably where I'll make my decision.
Yeah, but I mean, we were talking about bad segues, but I did bring up Star Wars, which segues us really well into our next topic.
Oh my gosh, so Star Wars released a bunch of pictures on like Monday, because Monday was May the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
We got a bunch to kind of go through here, and we're already like at 40 minutes. Mm. But the biggest one here is our first one, Kylo Ren, the main villain of the film with his, you know, triple bladed lightsaber. Finally, he's unmasked.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, he looks kind of almost unconventional bad guy. It's kind of hard to tell with what he's wearing. But, you know, he doesn't look buff or jacked because basically he looks like he's in a sweater and a scarf. But he looks evil as hell. He doesn't look like somebody that I want to, like, piss off that also knows how to use a lightsaber, you know?
Yeah, so it's Adam Driver. Is Kylo Ren the villain? A Sith something. He has to be Sith something. I don't know if he's an apprentice or an inquisitor or what.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just there with his mask off, so why has he got the mask? What does the mask do for him?
I don't know. Maybe he just likes to intimidate people, or maybe it smells really good. I don't know. Maybe he rubs some like fruit stripe gub on the inside nice smell in there.
My clothes washing liquid smells like fruit stripe gum.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I totally get what he's going through. I love it. It's great every time I do laundry.
Yeah, see, the thing is, he just happened to come over to your place and do laundry, and he threw his helmet in there, and he's like, well, I revealed my identity. Why do I need this helmet anymore?
I said they had microphones and cameras in my apartment, so when they said fruit stripe gum, they were like, this is what we have to do for Star Wars.
Maybe.
God, we're geniuses. But that's awesome.
Yeah, but he looks crazy creepy, and I love Adam Driver. He is amazing. I've only seen him in Girls because I pretty much fell asleep during the Lincoln movie because, I mean, I tried to watch it, but it was so boring. But he's really good in the HBO show Girls, so I think he's going to be awesome in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Next up is some new character for this show called Maz Kanata. Mm-hmm. We've got some concept of this little alien-looking creature.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is in the trailer. This is who hands the lightsaber to Queen Leia.
Oh, you think so?
I do. And we have the actress, Jupita Nyong, or something like that, doing the motion capture for this character.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a picture of that. And as well, she owns a castle on, what's that new word? Jakku?
Yeah.
I think she owns a castle on Jakku, so we can see the castle inhabitants. It's kind of like a Jabba's palace. Gives me the Jabba's palace feel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're feeling when you look at that?
Yeah, I feel like you got to get a little Jabba in every Star Wars film, or it technically can't be Star Wars. But I think it's going to be cool because obviously you kind of got to use motion capture sometimes. But JJ has been very adamant saying that he's going to use practical puppets as much as he can. So I have faith that we're just not going to get another Jar Jar character. So
Yeah, definitely. I think they've learned their lessons.
Mm-hmm.
We got a picture of Poe Dameron, if you want to check it out. A new image of Rey talking to J.J. Abrams on set.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, the last bit of news, and I talked about this yesterday, is Captain Phasma, that chrome stormtrooper,
mm-hmm.
is Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was kind of rumored, but it's finally confirmed.
Yeah,
she's really great in Game of Thrones. I think she will make a great, I don't possibly villain. We don't know if she's going to be a villain or not, you know, because we know the other stormtrooper that's been cast kind of as the main three of the cast, he seems that he's going to turn into a good guy almost. So we'll have to see what Gwendolyn Christie ends up doing, but she looks pimping that chrome stormtrooper outfit.
Yeah, man, they must have like got Exhibit up in this joint to design her costume.
I hope she got some
sick pimp flames. My stormtrooper.
Yeah, she needs some sick flame somewhere on her costume.
We haven't seen her personal TIE fighter, I think, so it might be there.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Man, you just got me really excited saying that she probably has a personal TIE fighter.
Oh, man, you should. This is maybe that's an idea for one of your comics.
Oh, I'm hype. I'm hype.
I pimp my, you know, TIE fighter.
Yeah, pimp my TIE fighter.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, that's enough Star Wars. I'm going to stop there before I dig myself a hole.
Yeah, we could talk about that for way too long.
Yeah, so we're going to go to Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Oh, this is stupid funny because this image of Task Force X, the main group in Suicide Squad, dropped the minute we stopped recording last week's podcast.
Yeah.
And it was in between recording that podcast and our spoiler cast, and I'm like, I sent it to Mike, and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, we kind of thought about going back and maybe touching on it, but there's so many characters in it, I didn't want to have to rush through it.
It was new. We were excited. We decided to wait till this week. You've probably seen it. If not, it's on the screen. It's in our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kind of go through the list here from left to right.
Yeah, let's do it.
So on the left, we have a character called Slipknot.
Yeah, he's got a rope outfit.
Yeah, some rope. The next one is Captain Boomerang.
Sans Boomerang. I don't see any boomerangs.
I don't either. That's Jay Courtney. I want to punch him in the face. Right below him is Katana.
Yeah, she popped up in the Arrow TV show recently.
Yeah, like last week.
Yeah.
No one knew she was in this movie, so that's cool that we're going to have a movie version and a, you know, TV version of Katana.
Mm-hmm.
The TV version of Katana is actually in The Wolverine.
Yeah,
she
that's
was
true.
The creepy girl who could see visions or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right above her, the creepy-ass chick is Enchantress.
She looks like the Swamp Thing to me. She looks like she just got pulled out of a bog.
She looks really goth, or like the Ring, like the chick from the Ring. They just dug her out of a well. Next to her is Rick Flag.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be Tom Hardy, but it was replaced.
Yeah, and at one point in time was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Possibly.
As you may notice, next is Harley Quinn.
Yes, which is probably something that we'll actually talk about more in depth here.
Yeah.
Because we finally got an on-film look of her. I mean, she looks exactly like a Harley Quinn. I would say her costume is a little unconventional from what you usually see her in, but the look is dead on. You know, she's got that gigantic smile. She's rocking, like, some ponytails with some very colorful hair. You know, not the traditional look for her, but it definitely looks like a Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Will Smith is Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a masked version in our show notes you can look at as well. Killer Croc actually kind of looks pretty cool.
Yeah, he looks brutal. He looks awesome.
The guy who plays, like I said, plays Killer Croc is the guy who played Curse or Algrim in Thor the Dark World. The guy who shoved that thing into himself in the prison to
mm-hmm.
become all big and strong. And then lastly is El Diablo. That
yeah,
stands for the devil in Spanish.
I don't really know what he does. I would assume maybe it's something with fire. I'm not familiar with his character.
I'm not either. He's got tattoos. Maybe his power is tattoos.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's got the... He looks like he rides a motorcycle almost.
None of these people, except for Killer Croc and maybe Enchantress, look like they have powers.
Yeah, they
maybe
all
just
look
a specific set of skills.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be more like what it is. I mean, these are more like criminals than superheroes for sure. But my favorite meme that I've seen of this is Will Smith is starting to turn into Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince.
Oh my gosh, I saw that too.
He's got the bald head and the beard.
You live long enough, you either die a prince or live long enough to become Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
That's a great a Batman reference.
Yeah, but I think this looks like a crazy cast. I had no idea it was going to be this big. I was expecting five, and what do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got nine. Or yeah, we got nine people here.
At least nine. Yeah. And it honestly, there's not really a whole lot to touch on, except for Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
That's the one everyone's really been looking forward to, because that's the one that everyone has kind of a knowledge of.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor left is her voice. We need to see what she sounds like, because she has a very, very particular voice. So we'll have to see how that shakes down. But
which is very ironic that a comic book character has a voice already.
Yeah,
that we have associated with this.
Yeah, but this looks like a very, very, very kind of goofy crew. I mean, if you look at any one of them individually, they look really cool, but when you put them all together, it just seems like a very dysfunctional group. But that's kind of exactly what they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be very good at what they do in a group. You know, they're all kind of renegades, all shoved together. So I think this looks like it's going to be shaping up to be pretty fun. I think Enchantress looks the most out of place because she just looks fucking weird.
Yeah,
but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, honestly, I am not offended/butthurt, as you would say, by any of these characters. I'm actually more impressed with Killer Croc than I am with anybody.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing to take out of this, how cool Killer Croc looks. I think the only thing that kind of could be, I don't know, cooler, maybe a little bit more polished, is Deadshot's outfit. I mean, it looks rad, but it almost kind of looks similar to what the Atom is sporting in the CW TV universe. It almost looks like a TV budget costume. You know, obviously he's not going to be sporting a whole Iron Man suit or anything, but it kind of has that same vibe of like when a student does a short film and they need armor for somebody and they go out and get like football pads. I'm kind of getting the football pad feel from it, but I don't know. Maybe it'll look cooler on screen.
Yeah, I mean, this is he strikes me as a mercenary, but if you look closer at like his wrist, he's got some like mechanical stuff on his wrist. I think we're going to see a lot more tricks.
Mm-hmm.
On his outfit than what we're seeing in just still images.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah, so I'm not honestly too concerned, except about the dude in the sports jacket that says Diablo.
Yeah, but I'm going to assume when we start to get trailers for Suicide Squad, whether Deadshot is a really prominent part in the film or not, they're going to be showing Will Smith's face as much as possible, because he's going to be a big selling point for this film, because Will Smith still drives in giant box offices for even like small little films, because he's a big ticket actor, so we'll be seeing him all over the posters.
Yeah, he is. Fun fact, they're filming for this right now. On set, they have the Midway City Police on the cars.
Huh.
In DC, Midway City is the Chicago of the DC Universe.
Uh-huh.
So that's cool that they're building, you know, another town in the DC Universe other than Gotham and what's the other? Metropolis.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of cool that they're putting it in another city where superheroes really aren't existing.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, also since they started filming, we got some set photos of Harley Quinn, and I believe there's also a set photo out there of Deadshot, but it's obviously just kind of more of the same, just grainier versions of what we got in the official released photo.
There's even more released. There's probably 30 released today, I saw, right before we jumped on here.
Uh-huh.
Just search Suicide Squad set photos. I don't want to go through them all because I don't think they do justice.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to look at them, do it. If not, you know, just... you know, stay with us, stay in the dark a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll definitely be having more Suicide stuff rolling in every week, so.
Yeah, last thing I want to touch on, there's a photo going around of Harley Quinn tattooing the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
That's been ruled as a fake by a company.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it.
It looks like fake. I called fake when I put it online. It's fun to imagine that's the case, but... I just wanted to clear up, if anyone sees that is a fake, don't believe it. Don't spread that rumor.
Yeah, I think it's pretty telling that she doesn't really look like Margot Robbie in the photo either.
It's a very horrible Photoshop Margot Robbie, if at all.
Yeah, but it's pretty fun, though.
Yeah. So, who put the Joker in there? Batman! Nah, I don't know. I don't know how to segue in this. Batman vs. Superman. We got another Wonder Woman promo art look.
Yeah, you'll be seeing this slapped on some sort of movie theater mug, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably. Her cape is a little more in action. It looks better, I think, while the cape's moving.
Yeah, it's very much exactly the same costume that we reported on last week. Just another angle.
Yeah, a closer look at her rope, I suppose.
Yeah,
the lasso of truth.
Yeah, but it looks like the same. It has that same watermark. That HH.
Well, that's on our Civil War stuff. That's from, I don't know who that is, but
yeah, whoever you are, you're leaking some stuff that we can talk about. So thank you.
Yes.
Don't leak any spoilers though. Don't do any of that.
Don't do that. Ah, those jerks. The CW. I'm caught up on The Flash.
Yeah, man.
In less than a week, I was able to watch all 21 episodes of The Flash.
Good job, man.
And I caught up. I watched it live this week, actually, which was the first for me. So I get to watch the finale, which is saying something. Like, and it felt like that last episode didn't set up the finale good enough. But yeah, whatever.
It didn't set it up at all.
Yeah. Either way, whatever. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the next CW show, Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
This was ordered for a series, so they're going to make this into a series.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a synopsis. You want to read the synopsis, Mike?
Yes, it is. When heroes alone are not enough, the world needs legends. Having seen the future, one he will desperately try to prevent from happening, time-traveling rogue Rip Hunter is tasked with assembling a desperate group of both heroes and villains to confront an unstoppable threat, one in which not only is the planet at stake, but all of time itself. Sorry, this is the first time I've actually read the synopsis. Let's see here. Can this ragtag team defeat an immortal threat unlike anything they've ever known?
Yeah, so DC seems to be focusing a lot of their stuff on ragtag teams, if we've learned anything from Suicide Squad. Legends of Tomorrow is taking characters we've seen in Arrow and Flash and putting them together to face something from the future, I guess.
Yeah, I have no idea who Rip Hunter is.
He's just a time-traveling rogue. It's about the best way to describe it.
Okay.
He will be played by Arthur Darvill of Doctor Who fame. He was Rory, if you're a Doctor Who fan. The characters in this that they're going to use are Captain Cold and Heatwave and Firestorm from The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And by Firestorm, I mean the Dr. Stein version, not the Casey Amell or Robbie Amell, Arrow's cousin, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
From the Arrow, they'll be taking the Atom and the Canary.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also be putting Hot Girl in the show. We've talked about Hot Girl before. And these are the people who you're going to see mainly taking over this TV show.
Yeah, so I think this speaks a lot to what could happen in The Flash and Arrow. You know, the Canary is a very much a staple right now in Arrow. So is she going to be leaving the show? What's going to be happening there? I feel like definitely it makes sense for the Atom to leave. He doesn't seem like a staple to Starling City right now.
He feels like a poor Iron Man.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. His suit's always breaking. And like the TV budget for the Atom is just very, very low. You know, I was really worried because I thought this third CW show was going to be an Atom show. And I was really, really worried about that because I don't think there's a TV budget out there to make him look good in every episode. I mean, what they're doing now is, you know, just kind of like on the fence, whether it looks like crap or it's passable. But I think all these other characters do pretty well. Captain Cold, Firestorm, Heatwave, they all kind of use those elemental type blasts and stuff, which always have looked really good in the show. I'm really interested in seeing Hot Girl. I think that's going to be the coolest addition.
I have a rumor to believe that she's going to show up at the end of The Flash on Tuesday.
Ooh, that's going to be exciting. I can't wait for that.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting to say the least, which makes me think, where's Barry going to end up at the end of the show? Is he going to be in the future and trying to get back to the past? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And if you guys are watching both of these shows, they cross over a lot. They've had one official crossover where The Flash and Arrow have met in costume and fought together on each of their respective shows. And then just recently, they kind of did like almost like a micro crossover where they brought over the Atom to The Flash. And then they brought over... I think they brought over someone else from The Flash over to The Arrow, but it's been kind of like just a minor crossover. But I definitely want to see all of these three crossover. It would almost be cool if they all coalesce in a finale like next year or something like that. That would be really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're building towards like a Defenders TV series on the CW rather than an actual like Netflix show like Marvel's doing.
Yeah, I'm just hoping Warner Brothers doesn't screw this up. You know, they got something cool going here. You know, it's not the greatest thing I've ever seen. I wouldn't say it's quite up to the quality of what Daredevil's doing on Netflix, but I think it's definitely fun to watch, and I like seeing 23 episodes of just superhero stuff every week, you know, which is a task, you know. Daredevil,
it's bold.
Yeah, Daredevil only had to do 13 episodes, and they had a decent budget. You know, these are like full-fledged seasons of like 23 episodes. So I'm looking forward to seeing this develop. Let's hope Warner Brothers doesn't decide to can it all to somehow tie it into their movie universe.
Yeah, I mean, the fact they're ordering the series, I think, speaks a lot. They have a lot of faith in it.
Yeah.
A lot of shows have just been renewed, and a lot have not been renewed, and that's actually going to lead us to our last segment of the day.
Yeah.
Renewals are dead, I guess. Yeah. That's a horrible name, but whatever.
Yeah, pass or fail.
Yeah, pretty much. So we talked about, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, been renewed. Mm-hmm. Early on, Legends of Tomorrow is being picked up. Next up, here we go. I'm gonna let you guess, Mike. Supergirl.
Yes.
It did. It did get picked up. At CBS.
Yes. All right.
Lucifer.
Picked up.
Picked up. I'm not sure what series that on. A friend of mine just finished that whole series recently. He's like, there is not one cop in that book. I don't know how they're gonna do this. And I'm like, whatever, man. TV does what it wants. Constantine.
Wah, 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 wah.
It is not picked up at CBS. However, they are shopping this pretty hardcore around. Even the guy who played the Arrow is like, I will come on that show to do a crossover if somebody picks us up.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. I don't really know what to say about Constantine. I hear it has a pretty good following. I see a lot of people trying to do some social activism to get Constantine renewed. I wasn't a big fan of the pilot, but I honestly can't judge it because I haven't seen past the pilot. So I don't know what's in the future for Constantine.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm sorry, I said CBS. It's NBC for Constantine.
Oh, okay.
Do you think CW would pick it up to continue on in their universe?
I don't know. That would be kind of cool. That would be really interesting to see if they can just kind of pick up a show and just roll it into their universe.
Yeah, it would be ballsy. I don't think Constantine needs a lot of episodes,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's what would make it work. But, yeah, Constantine is no longer at NBC. Not NBS. I don't know what I'm doing. Powers.
Yeah.
It renewed for season 2. Awesome.
Yeah.
However, the showrunner has left, citing creative differences for season 2.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me a little worried. I've been saying I haven't watched season 1. I watched the pilot, which was awesome, but I kind of wanted them to all come out, and I wanted to binge on them all at once. How far are you into the first season of Powers?
I think I've watched 6, and then afterwards I kind of got caught up with conventions and a lot of side work, but I got 4 more to go. They're all out now, and I'm going to get them some way, somehow, and watch them. I enjoyed up through 6. I have very little complaints for the show. I'm not going to say it's the best out there, but for what it's doing, it's good.
I feel like, I mean, just seeing that first episode, would you say it's kind of in between the quality of like maybe a network superhero show and maybe like what they're doing on Netflix with Daredevil? You know, would you say it's slightly better than what we're getting on TV?
I would say yes. I'm definitely comparing the effects to The Flash way better.
Okay, cool.
And I say this because I had hopes that the Flash effects would get better, and you tricked me.
you gotta just live with that TV budget in the back of your head, because that's something that they're never going to be able to get over.
Exactly, and I'm okay with that. It doesn't take me out. But Powers is definitely a better budget, and you know they don't have the restrictions. So if they want to say fuck, they're going to say fuck.
Yeah, and plus, like, they're also only doing like a limited number of episodes per season 2.
10 episodes is not bad. I'm going to try to knock it out maybe this week, next week, and then we'll come back with a more definitive answer. But yeah, season 2.
Yeah, I believe next week's show, we're going to have a lot of shows coming into their season finales. So we'll definitely have to touch on that from what we've watched.
Yeah, definitely. Lastly, The Muppets.
You're always trying to shoehorn The Muppets into a podcast about superheroes.
Well, I do this because I have a Muppets, the Avengers as The Muppets in my hallway.
Yeah.
So to me, they're the same thing, Mike.
So that's your technicality. That's your way to get it into the show.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes, they do have a new show coming out. And it got a standing ovation from the executives.
Oh, wow.
That gives me high hopes for this show. Or that, or these executives are stupid as hell.
Maybe somehow they'll get Kermit in a cape, and then we can segue it into a future episode.
Yeah. I mean, this is the beauty of you not reading the show notes till the day of. I can put whatever I want on here, and then you're like, wait, why is this on here? Like,
yeah, that's true. We've had to cut some Toy Story news in the past because I didn't think it quite fit. But I guess that's your evil plan, is just to put it at the very, very end and then just start the episode before I have a chance to not talk about it.
I highlight the text and make it white until we get to the end. And then, how'd that get in there? I don't know.
Well, actually, okay, let's talk about Muppets just a little bit more before we end the show. I watched National Treasure because it was just added to Netflix just recently. And National Treasure is a really fun movie. Like, I'm not stupid. I know it's not the best movie ever. It's just fun. But it kind of leaves a really good taste in your mouth where you want to watch more, like, treasure hunting type movies.
Uh-huh.
And so I went online trying to find more kind of treasure hunt mystery movies, and someone recommended Muppet's Treasure Island, I think.
Oh, my God. I love Muppet Treasure Island.
I haven't seen it. I'm guessing it's good then, right?
I tell you what, me and my girlfriend, this is, like, one of the few movies, like, we could do the whole line without even watching the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's just... That's one of them I grew up with. It's fun. It's lighthearted. It's not as heavy as, like, The Muppet Christmas Carol, which is right before it.
Yeah.
But it's great. I love the music. Cabin Fever will stick with you forever.
Is this going to be our next spoiler cast, Muppet Treasure Island?
Oh, man, the movie's been out for over 20 years, man. We can't – that doesn't deserve a spoiler cast.
It'll all be spoilers for me.
We could just have a podcast where we're watching the movie at the same time and just, like, riff tracking over it.
Do you think we should start a new, like, monthly Muppet podcast? Because I don't think there's quite enough content for a weekly show, but maybe a
monthly
show.
I don't even know there's enough content for a monthly show.
We'll keep the episodes really short.
Yeah,
10 minutes.
I don't know. Maybe we could live tweet the a viewing of the Muppets.
Yeah, maybe.
And have people join us. I don't know. We'll figure something.
Just to confuse the fan base even more.
Yeah, like, right.
Why are they talking about Muppets?
Hey, we love TV. We love movies. And we love superheroes, so it's in there.
Yeah, I guess, technically.
Anyway, enough of the Muppets. Quit patronizing me. Let's just get the show over with.
Okay.
Where can we find you, Mike? Mike, we want to follow you.
All right. Well, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or Instagram. Or you can also read my webcomics over at pickledcomics.com. What about you, Chris? Where can they find you talking about the Muppets?
Well, mostly if you want to find me on the Muppets, you go to at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N, on Twitter. And I guess Valdan87 on Instagram, but nah, fuck Instagram. comicui.com. You can get news there. We also have Facebook and Twitter links you'll find below. A lot of the stuff we talk about here, I post throughout the week live. So if you want to have a good water cooler talk, you can get it. Follow us on Comic UI and get that news live to your face.
And as always, you can always go to superheroslate.com where you can find all the links to everything. You can find the show notes where you can find all the images that we're talking about. You could find the links to our iTunes page where you can review our podcast on iTunes, which helps us very, very much. And you can find links to where we post the show. We're up on YouTube. We're up on SoundCloud. We actually just started a Tumblr page. So you can follow us on Tumblr if you don't have any of those other outlets. There's so many places that you guys can follow the show that there's no excuse not to subscribe somewhere.
Yeah. I think, like, the more we do this, the more we're going to find places to put our stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
especially with, like, SoundCloud and our YouTube base is growing and Tumblr. Like, I'm just so impressed with this.
Yeah, it's limitless. We can start making flyers and dropping it from planes, too. Maybe that'd be a subscription basis. You get enough people signing up in one neighborhood, and we'll flyer your neighborhood every week to remind you.
Yeah, we could drop the show notes from the airplane.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, we'll just embed the pictures on there and just print them off and be like, honey, the Suicide Squad's on our porch.
Can we get bicycle, like, people to deliver our show notes every Monday? Newspaper?
Maybe. I think we can do that. Maybe we can start making customized pizza boxes, and Pizza Hut can, like, deliver pizzas with our show notes on them too.
Oh, we can throw flash drives at houses.
Yeah,
with our podcast on it. Hopefully, they don't run it over with their lawnmower.
We'll just pay a bunch of teenagers to start chucking flash drives at houses.
That'll teach them.
Email us at superheroslate@gmail.com if you want to become an underground teenage flash drive delivery person and just chuck flash drives at houses.
Or if you just want to tell us how terrible those ideas were.
Don't, because they're all awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really it for the show this week. We actually wrapped it up quicker than I thought we would.
Yeah.
Thankfully. I'm just worn out. Like, I don't know what to do with the rest of the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna watch Game of Thrones. That's what I'm gonna go do.
Oh, that's right. I think I'm gonna go play that new Mortal Kombat game for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, have fun.
I'm gonna rent it. So if you guys, you know, Happy Mother's Day. Forgot to say that at the beginning of the episode. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there listening to our podcast.
Love you, Mama.
Yeah, Mike's mom and my mom and all the MILFs in between.
Oh no, God! End the show. We're done. Okay, bye, everybody.
See you. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe!